You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to today's Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey. I'll be joined shortly by our co-host, Dennis Wissman. A big question that's on many people's minds is, how can I make more of a difference in the world today? In our last episode, we looked at the topic of social activism in retirement. And today we're going to turn our attention to, how do you shift gears to a career in the nonprofit sector? And we have a special guest who has done just that, but she's also helped many people make that transition as well. Betsy Worley is Encore.org's Director of Network Expansion. She has dedicated this phase of her career to building the Encore movement and making later life a time of opportunity and contribution. Betsy moved to the nonprofit sector in 2005 as the Transition Network's first executive director. She led that organization through a growth phase, from a single chapter to 12. Her Encore transition was profiled in Mark Friedman's book, The Big Shift, and Carrie Hannon's What's Next. In her Transition Network role, she was a founding member of Coming of Age New York City and the Encore Network Steering Committee. Betsy joined Encore.org in 2013 as an Innovation Fellow, expanding connections between Encore.org and on-the-ground programs in the U.S. and around the world. Betsy spent the first 26 years of her career as a corporate lawyer and a business executive at JPMorgan Chase. She served as a longtime board member and president of the Financial Women's Association, FWA, and in 2002 launched a mentoring program for Baruch College undergraduate women business majors. In 2017, she received Baruch's Community Partner Award for her leadership of that program. Betsy has also been honored as the 2019 recipient of the PSS Impact Award for Leadership in Positive Aging. Betsy is frequently quoted in the media and invited to speak on issues related to older adults as assets in society. So, Betsy, thank you so much for joining us.
It's great to be here and to connect with your audience. Thanks for having me.
So, following your career as a lawyer and a business executive, what led you to pursue an Encore career in the nonprofit sector?
First part was a familiar territory, which is I was 49 and three quarters. And I was coming up to a decision about taking a severance package at Chase Manhattan Bank. And so I interviewed for jobs at the bank. And I woke up one morning about 2 weeks before I had to make the final go, no-go decision and thought, you know, these jobs I'm interviewing for are just more of the same. And it's really time to jump into the unknown, strap on the parachute, and start that third career that you've been thinking about. So very much turning 50, a second theme in my career in moving from law to the business side of Chase was this sense that there's a big wide world out there. And in looking out from Chase Manhattan, and thinking about opportunities in the nonprofit sector, I also thought, you know, there's a big wide world out there that I would like to learn about and be part of. And finally, certainly it was an impulse, I think related to, you know, looking at my age and saying, it's time to make the world better. And if not now, when?
And the mission that a nonprofit focuses on is so critical. What was it about the Transition Network and Encore.org that attracted you to them?
Well, as I look back on volunteer engagements that have been really important to me, a theme is helping people be all that they can be. One of my significant volunteer engagements in my 30s was becoming a mentor in a high school mentoring program. And then I helped to launch a college mentoring program with a business women's organization when I was the president. So that organization is the Financial Women's Association. So interestingly, I started with a focus on young people just going to college or launching their careers. But then as I learned about the Transition Network, I realized there is a whole world of longer lives, of a question about what is our identity after our first careers. And that really spoke to me because I was at the right age in that position and felt that, you know, really this is my movement, that my generation, the baby boomers, are the ones who can figure this out, be the role models, and leave a legacy for future generations.
What was the transition like for you coming from the corporate world?
You know, it was surprisingly easy, but I think there are some lessons in that. The Transition Network was founded by two women who had very high-powered jobs. One was a partner at Deloitte doing big technology projects. The other had senior government positions. And so they were looking for someone to come in and be the executive director to move the organization forward, to be decisive, to bring a lot of skills together and get things done. So in that sense, they had almost more of a corporate orientation. They were looking for someone like me with a corporate background, and that was very compatible. So as I think about people transitioning from the corporate to the nonprofit sector, I think one very important thing to keep in mind is, what is the culture of the organization you're considering? Do they have other people who have transitioned from the corporate sector? No, more and more organizations, I think, very positively, do have people, even people in executive positions, who were in the corporate sector, who have brought their skills to the nonprofit sector. And that certainly creates a better sense of, we understand each other, our cultural understanding is similar, than going from the for-profit sector into an organization that really has not experienced people from the for-profit sector. So that was one. A second, actually a delightful change, was moving from Chase Manhattan Bank at the time, which had 160,000 employees, to the Transition Network, where I was employee number two. So in changing jobs, I suddenly went from a big bureaucratic organization to one where, to the extent that there was any bureaucracy, I was the bureaucracy. And I found that extremely liberating, that three or four or six of us could identify an opportunity, could decide to go after it, and we did it. So I think that change from a big organization to a small and nimble, fast-growth organization was very positive. Of course, some nonprofits are big bureaucracies as well, so you have to be careful about that. And last but not least, for me, the transition was a wonderful learning opportunity. I am someone who is always looking for, where can I be learning? How can I be building new skills? What's something I don't know anything about and I can be part of? So it was extraordinarily stimulating, again, at age 50, to be in a situation where I had the necessity, but the privilege of learning on my feet. And so that's been the beginning of a great 15-year journey in the nonprofit world.
Betsy, in doing the transition, what skills did you find served you the best?
I am a generalist. If you looked at my background, you would certainly see I was a liberal arts major. My time in law school was very much understanding how law influences all parts of the world. And then I added business experience and I added nonprofit experience as the president of this businesswomen's group. So I think the first skill, and certainly a skill that the Transition Network valued highly, was I could do a little bit of everything. And I think for many of us, so for people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, the good news is we bring a lot of skills. Sometimes we don't even know the skills we have, but we bring a lot of skills and an ability to say, oh yeah, I can figure that out, or I know somebody who can help me. So I think that broad experience was important. I think second was my leadership experience in the Financial Women's Association. So as the board president of that group, had given me a very up-close opportunity to work in a membership organization with people who have strong opinions and who want to contribute. So again, I think that ability to be a listener, to channel what members are saying, and then to take action based on that, in a sense, the servant leadership quality was another quality that stood me in very good stead. And third, I think just feeling that while one could have seen this job as a risk, I really felt there was no downside, that it was going to be a great learning experience. I could tell that the organization would be successful because its mission was so powerful. And so I just felt like, you know, what's the worst thing that could happen? So again, I think that fearlessness, willingness to experiment was critical to making that job work.
Beyond your personal experience and because of the different roles that you've had, you have a bird's eye view on Encore careers in general. What are the benefits that you see people get from second act careers, and what are some of the challenges?
Yeah, in my observation, a big benefit is the stimulation and the satisfaction of using your skills in new ways. I have talked to so many people, you know, because of my own transition, I regularly have the opportunity to help people think about their own transitions. So the bad news in a way is that I talk to many people who will say, I really don't know what I have to bring to the nonprofit sector. I've always been a lawyer, a nurse, an accountant. So first, I think understanding that you can use your skills in new ways is stimulating and super satisfying when you find an organization where you can use them effectively. Second, of course, when your interests are aligned with the mission of an organization, you make a tremendous impact. And while certainly my for-profit work was very satisfying, the impact that I'm making, the way I know that I am changing individual lives and really our community is so powerful. So the legacy that this job allows me to leave is something that I think basically you won't find in the for-profit sector. Also, for most of us, switching to the nonprofit sector is a great opportunity to be a role model. We can of showing that you are able to step out of your comfort zone, use your skills in new ways, try something that, you know, everyone knows you've never done before. And I think both for people in my age group who see that and say, well, that's interesting, maybe I could do that. And equally powerfully for younger people, because when they see someone take 25 years of for-profit work, and then very happily and successfully transitioned those skills to a different kind of work with social impact. I think it gives young people a sense of, you know, there will be phases in my career, and I can look forward to a time when my work can really be around things I'm passionate about. So maybe it's less about making money, but it's more about issues that I believe really make a difference to our lives. And then challenges. Yes, there are a few challenges. One, candidly familiar to your listeners, is that the pay in the nonprofit sector typically will be lower. Benefits are very much a mixed bag. So certainly people need to put their financial stability first. That said, I think it's very important for people to understand it's not an all or nothing situation. For many, many people, you can certainly start out getting involved in volunteering and board work while you are continuing to do your day job. In fact, I strongly recommend that to anyone I talk to as they're looking ahead at a future career in the nonprofit sector. So they can make connections, they can build credibility, they can learn what they like and what they don't like, and that will stand them in good stead at a time when perhaps they can afford to transition to the nonprofit sector. And certainly I advocate volunteering of all kinds during people's whole career. I think it's extremely important because it builds skills. It allows you to incorporate passion into the whole portfolio of your life in a way that your job may not. So again, I think people can build toward a later nonprofit job while still getting a lot of the satisfaction of engaging in the nonprofit sector, even while they're heads down in a for-profit day job.
That's an interesting point. It sounds like volunteering is a way to get your feet wet, get started, and also really do some due diligence along the way.
Early on. Yes, exactly. Both about specific organizations. You know, is it, how do you feel about the culture? Is it stimulating to you? Is it bureaucratic to you? And more generally about the sector. If, for instance, if you have a passion around children and maybe foster kids, you can get to know one or more organizations and really start to look ahead to say, is this an organization I might want to work for at some point?
And Betsy, volunteering while in the corporate world makes a lot of sense, but it probably presents some challenges in terms of shifting gears from one mindset to another. What do people need to know to be a good volunteer?
They need to be strategic. Strategy can go in a few different directions. In some companies support, I would say all big companies these days have their corporate social responsibility programs and organizations that they support. So certainly one can look at those organizations as a starting point to say, these are organizations that my firm is engaged with. So if I want to devote some time and energy to these firms, that's very much aligned with my organization's support. Some big firms even offer support in terms of hours or even a more extended secondment to nonprofit organizations. So I would certainly look at those. One can also look at leadership roles, and I think really sell leadership roles in nonprofits as a way to achieve off-the-job training for on-the-job success. So the opportunity to plan events with leaders in a field, to get experience with public speaking, to build soft leadership skills with people whom you do not manage. all are highly valuable to your for-profit employer. And certainly in the right circumstances, I think you can sell those while understanding that you may have to work a few extra hours at your day job in order to pull it all together.
Makes sense. So what are some action steps and resources that people should be aware of if they want to make a move like this?
I'm a reader, so I started with the Chronicle of Philanthropy. I think so for those not familiar with it, I consider it the New York Times of the philanthropy world, in that it does a huge amount of original reporting on a range of issues, from how are people donating money to what are the moral and ethical issues of foundations, to what are the best practices in membership recruitment. So it has a lot of original reporting, as well as a daily email that pulls together clippings from all over the nonprofit world. Those reading the Chronicle was, when I started, it was initially both daunting, you know, it was as if I had discovered the continent of Australia. I mean, I realized this is so big, there is so much to learn, and yet exciting, because you're just constantly expanding your knowledge. And as you begin to get into conversations with people, reading a publication like the Chronicle of Philanthropy, the Chronicle of Higher Education, if you're interested in that, the Nonprofit Times are three that come to mind, really give you something to talk about. You can follow a conversation. You can bring up a subject if you're speaking to an executive director. Also, the Foundation Center is an excellent resource with many, many online tools and courses that allow people to focus primarily, in their case, on the fundraising side, but that's certainly an important area to be familiar with. And I took courses through New York University, which has a strong nonprofit program, both certificates and a master's degree. And so I would encourage people to look at local higher ed institutions, wherever they are, and figure out, you know, am I interested in technology? Am I interested in nonprofit management? Certainly to take at least one course on fundraising, and consider either a certificate or at least some coursework, which will demonstrate your seriousness, which will actually help you understand the nonprofit world better, and certainly be a different form of networking as you connect with professors and other students in your classes.
But when we talk about making this transition, how important is networking, and what kind of framework helps people?
Networking is one of two ways that we are going to get our encore job. So it's either networking or it's get a foot in the door. So we'll come back to get a foot in the door. Let's talk about networking. One of the wonderful things about being in your 50s, 60s, 70s is you know a lot of people, and they know a lot of people. What you then need to do is to really activate your network. Now, how do you do that? Well, really starts with the inner work of spending time with yourself and certainly talking to other people, informational interviews, so that you clearly define what are the mission areas I'm interested in, and or what are the skills that I want to use. You need one or both of those, because when you go out to your network, those are the things that stick in their minds like Velcro. So again, you have to be telling people, I'm interested in women or girls. I want to find out about, I'm interested in working for an organization that works with women or girls. That was enough for the executive director of the Financial Women's Association to see a job description to say, oh, I remember Betsy is looking for a job. This looks interesting. Let me send it to her. So figure out where you want to focus. Try it out on people and then share it with as many people as possible so that they become your eyes and ears. I will pause and contrast, or I'll share an experience that I have sometimes is people who very sincerely want to start an on-court career, and that's awesome. So we sit down and I say, well, tell me about you and tell me, what are you thinking about? And they say, there are so many things I could do. I'm interested in a lot of causes. And my answer is, okay, we need to pause here because you just lost me. You know, nothing is sticking. So your first task is really to go back and think more specifically, what are you interested in? What skills will you bring? And then that allows me to help you. So networking with the themes of what you're looking for, that opens the doors.
I think that's really great advice. Be more specific to what interests you and how you can benefit an organization and how you can actually, the skills you can use. I did a short stint in nonprofit. I found that being able to articulate that, here's how I can help you. Here's the things that I can do. But I also found, but you should be building a network over a period of time, like kind of what you did. You had a really nice plan here, it seemed, to place for you. Is that true?
Yes. I think people should always be aware. People should always think life is long and the people around me now are people whom I want to maintain a positive relationship with. And to know that at some point, they would think of you if they are looking for something and you would think of them. And sometimes I think people don't realize how big a network they have already. So your dentist is in your network. Your doorman is in your network. The guy who sells you your car is in your network. So with that specific message of, here's what I'm looking for, those are all networks that you can tap. So I think one challenge for a lot of people is that they are shy about leveraging their networks and saying to people, you know, just for the heck of it, here's something. I wonder if you have any advice for me. So really talking to people and learning how to leverage the networks that they actually have.
That's great advice. Thanks.
So two of the challenges you've mentioned are, first, not being clear about your theme, your focus. So doing that introspection to get that clear so people can help you and make the right connections. And then also not being shy about leveraging the network that you have. What do you think is the biggest obstacle that most people need to overcome to land the right nonprofit role for them?
That takes me back to how people will find their on-court career. And as I said, I think networking is a big part of it. Within that, so you've walked up to the door and, you know, there's an opportunity for you. So there, I think it's going in with a mindset of learning and moving forward in a role that admittedly is unfamiliar. Knowing what you don't know. Then the other way that people will find opportunities is getting a foot in the door. And what do I mean by that? Well, another aspect of, you know, being older is that you are not a square peg for someone's square hole. You have many, many facets. Let's say you identify an organization. So I really want to be part of this organization. You find a way strategically to volunteer, to get on a fundraising committee or something, and people get to know you in that role and say, gee, we love what we see. We, you know, here's something else. So they slowly get to know you, not all at once, that you impress them favorably. They say, you know, she did a great job. She is a great fit with our culture. And sure, let's talk more about what else you could bring to the organization. So one piece of advice, which ties in both cases, is sometimes I think we want to come into a situation and start reciting our resume. And that's natural because you want people to know that you have a lot to offer. I think the most effective thing someone can do in looking for their encore is to briefly say what they're about and then get into a conversation about what are your organization's biggest opportunities? What are the challenges your organization is facing? And then bring in relevant parts, only the relevant parts from their experience to say, I dealt with something like that, and here's something we did, and here's how it was effective. I can't tell you how many times people have told me their resume for 15 minutes, at the end of which I just said, I am so blown away by all you've accomplished. I can't even think of a volunteer project I could offer you. So don't do that.
That's good advice. That's great.
So you've shared so much great advice already, but I was just wondering if you think about someone listening to this discussion, someone who's interested in a second career in the nonprofit world, what other advice would you offer them on how to get started? How should they go about it?
I'm excited for anyone who is starting down that path. I think it's even the search can be extremely life-enhancing as you find out about this world of social impact work, of all the people and all the good that people are doing. If people start into it thinking, I'm on a journey, it's a journey of learning, it's a journey of, you know, a few bumps and bruises along the way, of meeting people I would never have met otherwise, that is the spirit to be on this journey and to know that each person you talk to and each insight that you get about yourself moves you closer to finding that role and also expanding your sense of what the world is.
So Betsy, are there any other resources that stand out that you'd recommend?
Yes, I think a fabulous starting point is the Encore Career Handbook, written by Marcy Alberher, who is part of the Encore.org team. It's an extraordinary combination of stories, but also worksheets. So really taking you through that thought process of what am I passionate about? What makes me mad? What skills do I want to use now? And a lot of resources. So that is a great starting point, especially for those who are thinking, that's where I want to go, but I'm not sure what exactly I want to do. Second, there are a number of websites and newsletters that I think help people learn about the nonprofit sector. So I would start with the Chronicle of Philanthropy, which is great original reporting about the nonprofit sector, everything from trends in philanthropy to technology to membership to the role of foundations in our country. They have monthly newspaper, daily updates, and many, many webinars. So that's a great resource, along with other more specialized publications like the Chronicle of Higher Education. Third, the Foundation Center is a starting point in terms of all things related to fundraising and many courses around fundraising. So those would definitely be some starting points. And then I encourage people to check their local or these days even national organizations to see, are there courses that look interesting that would let me learn about different mission areas or different functions in the nonprofit sector, and sign up for those, take those, consider taking a certificate to learn, to network, and certainly to enhance your credibility.
Betsy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. And I know people are going to find this very, very helpful.
Great. It is my pleasure. And I encourage people to start now. And in the words of David Brooks, I love David Brooks's formulation, really encouraging people to switch their thinking from their resume to the eulogy at their funeral. Mm-hmm. And what is the impact you want to make in the world? And how can you start out on a journey that will allow you to bring your skills and your passion to make that impact that you want to make?
Well said and very helpful. Thank you, Betsy.
Thank you, Betsy.
Thank you.
Well, thanks everyone for joining us today in a really informative and useful conversation with Betsy Worley. Joe, what were your insights today?
There are a number of them, but there are four that I'll highlight. The first is her comments about the importance of clarifying the focus and doing the reflection and introspection to identify the theme of what you're most passionate about. We all have a lot of things we could be interested in and we're passionate about, but to really get that one or two causes down that you can communicate and share with others so that they can connect you to people who may be able to talk to you about opportunities. And now's a good time. Obviously, the pandemic has led to more time for introspection and reflection, so that can be helpful. Second, she talked a lot about the spirit you want to enter this with, and that's the spirit of journey of learning. And really to learn about the people involved in this work, learn about the impact that is going on in the world from, in terms of the social causes, and what it tells you about yourself. And then third, I was struck by her talking about the opportunities she's had to learn new skills and to use her skill set in different ways, in new ways. And I think she went from a very large organization to employee number two at the Transition Network. And you can see how that creates new opportunities. And then finally, I was struck by what she said about being a role model. This allows you to show others in your age group that you and other generations that you can step outside your comfort zone. You can keep growing and keep learning. Dennis, how about you?
Yeah, thanks, Joe. That role model piece is so important. I have a few things. One, in listening to her story on how she got to the point of where she is today, she started out reflecting a lot. She started mentoring young people. She started questioning what's next in life and how do you give to the greater good. There was a lot of self-reflection going on, and I think that helped her figure out how well she was cut out for this next part of her life, which I thought is really good advice for people to do. Do some reflection to see what you're cut out for. The other thing that she, when she was talking about the skills, I noticed the soft skills were really important. You can bring your technical skills to bear, but in order to get people to listen, to understand what it is that you can help them with, it's a very important for you to be a really good listener, for you to be a servant leader, for you to be open and people can bring things to you and bring in your best soft skills, because people will talk to you. They will ask you for help. They will share things with you. And I think all of that is very positive. So soft skills are critically important. And the last piece I would add is when she mentioned when you're researching and you're looking for a job, that don't recite your resume. This is perhaps less about you trying to make an extraordinary impression, my words, but more about what you might be able to offer others. So she said, briefly say what you're about, ask about the challenges that the organizations may have, and then bring in the relevant parts of how you can help them. So I think when you put those things together in the right way and really have that mindset on how you can really help others, I think that's a win-win situation and be a great opportunity for continued growth and learning.
Thanks, Dennis. And we'd like to thank Betsy Worley for joining us today and sharing her wisdom. And we look forward to future episodes of the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. Thanks for listening today.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.